If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We are taking a few weeks to look at the expectations of the church. What does God expect of His people? God expects us to grow. God expects us to serve. He expects us to give. And as a church, He believes we should send or be sent. And today, God expects the church to walk. I know what you're thinking, Pastor, you're not our medical doctor. You can't tell us what to do. I'm not telling you what to do physically, although that's a good thing. Spiritually, I want to talk to you about walking with the Lord, what it says in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In fact, we have the command 3 times in this chapter alone to walk. Now, typically, I like to preach verse by verse. I don't like to skip verses. So today, I'm breaking my usual pattern. I'm going to read a few verses, skip several, read a few and skip several, and then read a few. If you're offended, I apologize. Sorry, not sorry. I want to focus in on what it means to walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you to walk. So if you have a copy of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, the verses will be on the screen. We'll read a few, and I'll try to direct you where we're going. Starting in verse number 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, if you'll skip down to verse number 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, if you'll skip down to verse number 15. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." God wants us to be concerned with walking, not for our physical health, but for our spiritual health. Not in exercise, but in relationship. The Apostle Paul used this word 3 times to describe a Christian. Now, when he used the word walk, it's a figure of speech, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual analogy. He's saying, "I want you to walk in the Lord." That means the manner in which you live your life. So how are you living your life? We say, well, how is your walk? Are you walking with the Lord? We use those Christian terminology. How's your walk? So not as just the manner in which you live, it's also the measurement by which we gauge ourselves. We say, well, how are you walking? Well, how are you doing with your walk in the Lord? I want to give you 3 simple points based upon the text about what it means to walk. 3 simple encouragements, 3 exhortations to encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse number 1 and verse number 2 for the first point. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Here's the first way in which you can walk, beloved. Number 1, walk in love. And let me go ahead and throw this out there. No, those are not my Converse All-Stars, just so you know. Stephen did not take my picture and put that on the preaching slide. Walk in love. The Bible tells us that we are to imitate God because God is a loving God. Not only that, He is our Father, and we are His children, and we act like who we belong to. We live in such a way as Christians that our lives are characterized by love. When others see Christians, they should say, "That person is loving." Now, I wish they could say, "The pastor is loving." When they speak of First Baptist Church, I want to say, that is a loving church. The way in which we live our lives is characterized by love. This is what we know about Christ. He loves us. And his example of love is what we stress for ourselves. So the question, how did he love us? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll be glad to answer that for you. He loves us completely. He loves us sacrificially. And he loves us personally. That is the manner in which Christ loves. Believers, we're to be loving just like Christ. That's our walk. When we walk, we talk about our love. In the same manner. I ran across this article in a magazine. It's in several news outlets. The name Jesse Larios out of California means nothing to most of us, but he also has an alias or an alter ego, whatever you want to call it. He's also called Bear Son. His friend, who is a designer, created a bear outfit that he put on, and it's not like a teddy bear or a grizzly. It looks like Japanese anime, if that paints the picture for you. And he decided that he would put on this bear outfit and he would walk from Los Angeles to San Francisco for fun. Now, would anyone in this room put on a 70-pound bear outfit and walk for fun? Okay, I didn't think so, Second Service. I know you pretty well. And people began to donate money and say, hey, we want to help your cause. The problem was there was no cause. And so people began to donate money to Jesse or Bear Son, whatever you want to call him. And then he decided, I'm going to donate this money to a charity. This happened numerous times with Bear Son. Now, he has an online following. I don't think any of you are Instagram friends with him. But he raises money. So on the first trip, he walked from L.A. to San Francisco. That's 482 miles. It took him 13 days. I have a calculator on my computer in my office, and I did the math for us. That's 37 miles a day walking with a 70-pound suit on. He donated all the money to mental health. The second trip he took from L.A. to San Diego and then to Vegas, 398 miles. It took him 10 days. 39 miles a day. He then decided to walk across the country from LA to New York City, 3,102 miles. And you may think, that is impossible. There's no way we can walk that distance. Well, it took him 134 days. And he was really slow on this trip, only 23 miles a day walking. His standards have been drastically cut, y'all. Not good. And the reason part of that is because when he would walk across the country, people would welcome him into their homes. And oddly enough, in his interview, he said the people of the U.S. are amazing. And he specified the Navajo Nation. He said, the Navajo Nation, those people would walk with me, spend time with me, we'd share stories, and they would not take no for an answer about staying in their homes. Now, what's also odd about Bear Son, he would never take off his outfit in front of people, so no one knows his real identity. It's possible Bear Son is among us today. We have no clue. He's known for walking, donates all the money. In this case, when he arrived in New York, he sent it to cancer research, to the disabled community, to autism awareness, to mental health, and so forth. And then just recently, finishing in January of this year, he went from New York City to Los Angeles, 3,015 miles. It took him 76 days. That's 39 miles a day walking. You say, I could never walk that distance. Yeah, but you can walk a little bit. We always talk about walking. We always put these numbers on, look at the distance or look at the time. And just concern ourselves with the subject, the topic of walking with the Lord. Walking in love, because God is love, just walk in love with God. One of the greatest passages in the Old Testament about walking, Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. A sermon in and of itself, however, just talks about walking with the Lord. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah, 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Listen to this. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I love that scripture. What do we know of Enoch in the genealogy portion? What we know of Enoch, he walked with God. He walked with a loving God. And that's all we know. He walked with God, and then God took him. God spared him from physical death and took him to be with him. And all we know of Enoch is that dude walked with God. Man, I wish that could be said of me. And he walks with God. She walks with God. They walk with God. And how can we walk with God? In love. You may miss some of the finer points of all this, but let's keep it very simple. If all you get is this, I'm going to walk with God, I know God loves me, and I love him, that's what it's all about. Man, walk with God. Walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, we'll find our second point. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We walk in love. And the second command to walk is number two, walk in light. The preaching points are very plain to see. God does not want us to live our lives in disobedience or darkness. God wants us to live in the light as he is in the light. Why? Because disobedience to God for the believer brings punishment. Now to the unbeliever, the wrath of God will be poured out on you in eternity one day. Until then, Christ will step in and save you. But for the believer to whom we're speaking, to the believer who wants to live in darkness, who wants to go back and creep along in sin, God is going to punish you for what you're doing. Now, this is very clear to us. The Christian life is meant for us to be close to God, to be in the light. The Christian life is not operated in darkness. It does not belong in sin. Scripture uses this analogy throughout about darkness and light, that we want to be with him. So darkness describes sin. Light shows holiness and right living. And here's the thing, a Christian cannot live in the middle saying, I wanna be in the light, I wanna go hang out in darkness for a little bit, and then I wanna go back to the light. That's not the Christian life. That's called hypocrisy. Living two different ways, and God is not pleased with that. And if you go back to the darkness, or if you live in the darkness, that's the way of sin, the way of the world. And listen, friend, there is punishment coming. Everything we do, every deed in the darkness, Scripture says, will be illuminated one day. Years ago in my battalion, we had a young man named Private Dunbar. And we were mobilized, we were training. You know how that is, you're away from families, you're not eating good food. You just want to get out of the barracks. And so Private Dunbar, he wanted to go to the club. To the club he went. Now, he did not have his personal vehicle, so what he did, he commandeered one of our Hummers. He stole our Humvee. He didn't even sign for it. He just took off with it. And the way he got away with it, he says, it's dark. No one's going to see me. And plus, the vehicle's camouflage. They can't see me. So Dunbar, one of our cooks, he went to the club, had a good time, and as he exited, we asked him, what were you thinking? He says, I don't know, but all I do know, when I came out of those doors, I just started saluting people and signing papers. It's a wonder he did not go to jail. He lost his rank. By the mercy of our commander, the command staff, he stayed in. But that's what happens when you go to the darkness. If you start walking in the dark and say, oh, I can get away with this. Listen, beloved, you can't. God knows. And the Christian is supposed to live in the light. Man, how are we going to go to the darkness when we have a God of glory and holiness that says, I want you to live with me in the light? We're to live in such a way that we live in the light. Now, verses 9 through 14 of Ephesians 5 detail the light versus the darkness. They said you used to be darkness, but now you're light. You used to be on that path, but now you're on a different journey, and we can't walk in both regards. You can only choose one or the other. In fact, the way God instructs us throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, he says, you've got to walk in my way. You've got to walk in my limitations if you want to have life. It says in Leviticus 18, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel. Say to them, I'm the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you live. You shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules, keep my statutes, and walk in them. I'm the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. We walk in love, we walk in light. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll find our third point, starting in verse number 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We walk in love, we walk in light. And third, we walk in wisdom. We walk in wisdom. The believer has got to give careful consideration to the way in which you're living your life, the manner in which you live, the measure by which we gauge ourselves. How are you living? You've got to do it wisely. You've got to make good decisions that honor God. Are you living righteously, which means right living? Live in according to wisdom. And one of the ways he tells us how to do that is to make the best use of your time. Take advantage of the moment, the time at hand, and use it for the right reasons, the right manner, the right measurement. I don't know about anybody else. Has anybody else watched a football game? You don't care about either team. And then at the end of the game, you're like, what in the world did I just do? Somehow the guys at church talked me into joining a fantasy football group. And I look at this and think, I don't care about any of these guys. In fact, most of my decisions, the other guys tell me what to do. I'm in last place. I'm going to run the table this year. I'm not going to win a game. And I think, I don't care about this game. Why did I watch it? I don't care about these players. Why looking at stats? Or like, why did I waste my time doing this or doing that? Why didn't I do something else? Why was I so foolish about my time off? Why did I squander the time with family when I could have spent meaningful time with them? We need to rethink the way we approach time as the Christian. We measure time in hours, but we should really measure it in heartbeats. Every moment matters. That truth is very evident in Israel right now. Last week, in a moment, lives were taken. They weren't worried about hours, they were worried about heartbeats. And we think, oh, we'll do this, that time, the other, if the Lord wills it to be. We even can quote scripture. But we have to measure time in the here and the now. How is God working right now in me? That's called wisdom. We think about, oh, next year in school, or when I go to this place. Quit thinking about that and think about the here and now. That's what God says, live in wisdom. We also need wisdom, not just for the here and the now, making use of the time, but also scripture tells us the world in which we live is evil. We live in a fallen world. It's evil. They're full of wickedness. And we stand in contrast to that. We, the representatives of God, hold different convictions and standards in the world, but yet we're still to live in the world, although we're not of the world. Here's how you do that: with wisdom. When God gives you insight, when God gives you standards by his word, you need that. It's an understanding of truth. We need wisdom. Let me give you some supporting verses from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. So if you live rightly, live righteously, that's called wisdom. But if you live opposite the counsel of God, that's called foolishness. If you operate in foolishness, usually there's a penalty. I sound like such a dad right now, don't I? Like, if you act a fool, you're going to pay for it. But it's true. That's why God says live in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. 20 years ago, the company Enron declared bankruptcy. One of the leading innovators in business, energy, multimedia, way ahead of their time, they declared bankruptcy. Thousands of employees, thousands of investors lost their jobs, lost all their money, lost their retirement accounts because of foolishness. One of the biggest companies in the world, most successful, they had fake holdings and they had off the books accounting practices. That's called foolishness. They had ways to hide debt and assets from investors and creditors. That's called foolishness. The price of their shares went from $90 to 26 cents almost instantly. The company had more than $21 billion in debt. They should have been making hand over fist in finances, and yet they declared bankruptcy. That is the perfect example of foolishness, not walking or living in wisdom. It's so interesting that Paul uses the word walk in Ephesians. Ephesians, the book that Christ is the head of the body, we are the body of Christ. And he says, I want you to walk. He does not say sprint. He does not say run. Because if he said sprint or run or do some feat of strength, you would say, I can't do that. But here's what God says, you can walk. Maybe you've never walked with the Lord. Maybe you're in your sin, you're in the darkness, and you know that Christ died for you. All you've got to do to start your path, to start your journey, is to believe in your heart and confess that truth with your mouth. Start the journey. Start walking with him. Enoch walked with God. This Thursday, I got to go visit a friend. A couple of guys in here have been praying for somebody on their hearts. Lawrence and Sandy, appreciate you guys. I'm praying for Bob Culp. And they came after they met with him, prayed with him, and said, Pastor, we want you to go talk with him. We've been witnessing to him, been praying for him. I said, okay. So Thursday morning, I went to go visit Bob and Peggy in their house. He met me in the garage. He says, I know why you're here. I said, I know you know why I'm here. I got some guys that put me up to this. And we talked about his soul. And he said, I need to trust in Christ. 83 years old. Now, not long ago, Sonny Cummins gave his life to Christ. He was 80. I said, Sonny, he's got you beat. Man, at his table, because he said, this is not a decision we make in the garage. Let's go to the table. Joined hands with he and his wife, Peggy, and we prayed. And he accepted Christ and surrendered his life to him. This morning in first service, he made a public declaration of faith and said he's going to get baptized. Yeah. He's starting the journey. He's starting to walk with the Lord. His wife Peggy said, I have been hindered in my walk with Christ. And she said, I'm rededicating my life today because I want to start back walking with him even better than before. No matter where you're at in life, start the journey, start walking. And maybe like Peggy, I mean, had problems she dealt with over the years. And she just said, I haven't been walking like I should. I wonder how many of us that's like today. You've gotten off track. Maybe some of you never profess faith. Maybe there's some steps that you left out, like baptism or membership. Let me give you the secret to walking with the Lord. Let me give it to you as best I theologically can. Left foot, right foot. And then repeat that over and over again. You say, Pastor, it's not that easy. It's got to be more adept than that. No, that is walking with the Lord. God is not concerned with gifts, talents, and abilities. He wants men and women, boys, girls, to walk with Him. To walk. When I was in college, there was a lady I was interested in. I couldn't ask her out. She intimidated me. She still does. She had a flat tire. She went to a different university than I did. We had a campus ministry that met for both campuses. And I said, I'll come help you. We'll take that vehicle to the tire shop. Actually, we took it to Walmart. I said, we'll take it to Walmart, and then we'll walk around together. You see where that got us? When we go to the beach, now some people like to run. I run in case of danger. When we go to the beach, we walk together. At our previous home in Arkansas, after our evening meals, we'd say to each other, let's go walk. We'd walk around that circle. Say, why is all that? Because that's a relationship. I'm not concerned with you coming to worship. I'm not concerned with how much you serve. I don't care about how much you give. I am concerned about your relationship, how your walk is. We get it mixed up if we say, here's all these things, check the boxes. How's your walk? How deeply are you walking with Christ? And what would it look like to those whom this applies if you gave your burdens to Christ and said, I'm going to walk with you? It's a simple prayer. And maybe you need to pray that prayer. Maybe there's something in your life you need to get rid of so you can walk with Christ. Maybe there's a decision, a step you need to take. Or maybe if you want me to pray with you, there's to be some other men to pray with you as well. Whatever it is, the time is now. Start walking. And Father, we thank you for the word to walk. Lord, we ask for your help. We need your grace and mercy to do so. Lord, if someone has never trusted in Christ, Lord, I pray that they would start that journey like Bob did. Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for the prayers of many that led to his faith. And Father, if someone needs to take a step of obedience, a big decision, Lord, may they do it. Lord, for those whose walk has been hindered, they're not walking as they should, Father, we ask forgiveness. We pray that you would restore unto us the joy of salvation, and may we start walking. Father, I pray for those with needs, those here, those online listening in. Father, would you grant them, according to your will, whatever they need? And Father, in this time and place, would you meet with us? Father, may we examine our lives, the manner, the measurement. Father, may we just walk with you. Father, would you bless our time and our response? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.